Welcome to the Man Cave Podcast with Dan Casper.
It's time for Inside the Training Room with Dr. Crow, Chippewa Valley Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. How you doing, Doctor?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Not too bad, man. Not too bad. Although, a little down being a Brewers fan here after hearing the news yesterday about All-Star closer Devin Williams, and that's kind of where I want to lead off. So it was revealed yesterday after a second opinion that Devin Williams has diagnosed PARS fractures on both sides of his T12 vertebrae. Now, I saw somewhere else, too, that they called it stress fractures. Is that what PARS fractures are? Is it the same thing?
Well, PARS fractures is a reference to an anatomic spot in the vertebrae. So you can have a full fracture, you can have a stress fracture, you can have a stress reaction, the whole gambit. So just a super quick anatomy review. So when you talk about the spine, you have your big vertebral body, which is the large circular piece in the front. Then there's a little kind of hole behind that, which is where the spinal cord runs and the nerves. And then on the backside of that is basically these sets of facets. So think of them kind of like, I guess, shingles stacked on top of each other. So it's how each vertebrae links to the one above and below it. So each vertebrae has a facet that goes up and a facet that goes down. And there's a thin area of bone that sits between those facets that's called the pars intra-articularis. Well, there's a lot of different reasons that it can happen, but this is, in this case, it's likely due to repetitive hyperextension activity creates a stress fracture. Now, it can go to the point where it fully breaks, but it sounds like, from what I was reading, it's not a full fracture. It's the beginning of it. So, and again, a stress reaction, a stress fracture. So generally, you shut down the activities that aggravate, let the bone heal, and then it heals completely. And so it should be something that goes, unless he has some kind of predisposing factor that resulted in it, it should go away and go away for good.
So that's kind of what I was going to ask you, too. I mean, stress fracture in your back for a pitcher, I mean, was it, do you think it just probably from the motion of being a pitcher and it just kind of developed into that?
Yeah, almost certainly. I mean, there's a clear link between really significant hyperextension activities with the back. So the most common athletes we see with this are athletes like gymnasts and wrestlers that do a lot of significant back extension. If you think about a pitching motion, when they're in the extreme, I mean, if you look at them from the side, there is hyperextension going on, right? As they come through, they're driving the arm and use their legs to push. It creates an extension moment on the back. So, I mean, that's something that I'm sure they're going to try to deal with core strengthening exercises to offset that. But, yeah, I'm sure that's coming from pitching.
When it heals, is that something that is, you know, he's going to have to deal with for the rest of his career, or kind of like what you said, when they shut him down, it sounds like they're going to shut him down for 6 weeks and rehab him for another 6 weeks there, just kind of let everything heal. Any long-term issues potentially with that?
Well, if it heals, zero. Unfortunately, sometimes they don't heal, and then they can go from a stress fracture to a complete break. So you can have it where it breaks. Now, when you hear it break, you're like, oh my, was his back going to like fall apart? Thank goodness, no. There's a lot of other stabilizing structures. So we do see that. So the next step beyond that would be something called spondylolysis. And then if it starts shifting, that's called spondylolisthesis. Don't worry, there's no quiz. But a lot of like little terms that we use. But if it does go to that, I mean, then it's going to be a big problem because it'll be painful no matter what. And every time he does that motion, it's going to be painful. So if it doesn't heal, yeah, he might have a real significant issue. But the good news is if they catch these early, a lot of times you're able to get it to go away. Now, it does kind of dovetail back to your previous, you know, point is like, well, why is it there? Well, if it's from pitching, well, I assume we all want him to get back to pitching, right? So if that aggravating thing is reintroduced, could it occur again? It could. But again, like I said, I think they're probably going to do a lot of things. They're going to try to negate the risk factors. Again, likely it's going to be a lot of core strengthening to try support the back so the stress doesn't go through the bone, it goes through more through the musculature around it.
Is it one of those that is kind of hard to initially find on an MRI? Because, you know, reading a little bit about it, he was going through some back stuff in September. Then it kind of popped up again in spring training. And the first time they went through it, they didn't find anything of concern. Then he goes for a second opinion, and then they find something on there. Is this one of those where it's maybe initially very hard to diagnose, you think?
Yeah, early subtle ones are very challenging. So, I mean, there's two different ways that the extreme of it is x-ray. Like, if you get an x-ray and see a line, then you're into the spondylolysis, and that's the cat's out of the bag. So initially, x-rays are virtually always negative. So then you get either what's called an MRI or a SPECT CT. And those are two different modalities. They both, it depends on dealer's choice, but they're both quite sensitive at picking it up. They're not perfect. So really early, you're going to have really subtle findings. And here's the challenging part. You know, this is on a T12 vertebrae. Well, you have 12 thoracic vertebrae, and then you have 5 lumbar. So you have a whole bunch of different spots. And, you know, you think you'd be able to pinpoint where it hurts in the back. You get a general area. I mean, you're looking at 3, 4, 5 vertebrae in that window that could be the culprit. So it's not always easy to pinpoint. Like a knee, for example, you only have one right one and one left one. So when we're looking, we can really focus in. The back, it's a little more challenging. So it's possible, number one, that it was subtle and hadn't really become obvious on the first MRI, and it progressed. The second one, bam, there it is. Mm. Or maybe they converted from an MR to a SPECT CT and they just noted on the other one. Again, I'm not sure which one, but that it probably the case.
Staying with back injuries here, but going to basketball, Ben Simmons, who has been dealing with injuries throughout his entire career, it seems like. The Nets the other day said he had a microscopic partial dissectomy. Is that to deal with the
dissectomy?
Okay, to deal with nerve impingement in his back. Can you kind of explain what exactly that all means?
Yep. So he had a disc herniation. So we just touched on anatomy. So on the back side of the back are the facets and the pars, what we were just talking about. If you go back to the front, you have those big vertebral bodies. Between there is the disc, and so that's the kind of the cushion of your spine. And they're surrounded by something called the annulus fibrosus. It's a thick, strong covering that keeps the disc where it's supposed to be. Well, unfortunately, sometimes that bulges or ruptures and releases disc material, and we don't have a lot of extra space built in. So when that stuff extrudes out and impinges or pinches the nerve, and then you can get real significant problems. So when people have a pinched nerve in their back or sciatica, one of the common causes is a disc. And so what they can do is they can make a real small incision, they go inside, and they just pluck that piece out. So in and of itself, it's a relatively quick recovery, and people do pretty well. The concern is if you've ruptured once, you're at a little bit higher instance of rupturing a second time, and you can also eventually develop what's called degenerative disc disease. Think of it like arthritis of that part of the back. So on a big athlete like that, again, not career-threatening, but it at least is like, oh, no, we better not go down that path again.
Are back injuries one of the more difficult ones to try to assess or even try to get right? Because it feels like, you know, I think it was Jair Alexander when we were talking in during the football season. He was dealing with some back stuff. I mean, is it one of the more difficult ones to try to figure out and manage and fix, I guess?
It can be, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of challenging problems. I mean, each joint and body system has their own challenges where you have an issue that you're like, well, we just don't want to be dealing with that. I mean, cartilage issues in any joint are a huge problem. But when you talk about the back, I mean, there's a number of reasons why it's challenging. The first and foremost is that it is literally one of the supporting structures of your body. I mean, you can't really, like, you can go on crutches and offload a knee. Like, how do you do that for a back? Are you in a wheelchair for 6 weeks? You just can't. Like, so you're always engaging it. And so all the different motions and activities you do rely on it. So it really is involved in so many different activities that human beings do. And it's complex, and there's a lot of different articulations that possess, and you can have pinched nerves, you can have muscle problems, joint problems, bone problems. So, yeah, it can be a big challenge to deal with. So, and unfortunately, if it gets real severe and you start talking about things like what Tiger went through with the fusion, well, then all of a sudden you start worrying about the levels above and below, because each level is supposed to be active and move, and when you lock one down, aka fuse it, now the more stress goes to the ones above and below. So spine problems, unfortunately, can be recurrent as well.
Switching over, or I guess staying with hoops here, Dr. Crow, Chippewa Valley Orthopedics and Sports Medicine joining us. Giannis, a couple weeks ago, maybe it was just a week ago, he was on the injury report and he missed a game, and they were calling it Achilles tendonitis. And he actually tried to go through a warm-up, couldn't even finish it. And he wasn't out long. I think he just missed that game and came back and such. But you had Bucks fans worried about, because you heard the word Achilles in there. And
the Pavlovian response at this point.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, tendonitis, Achilles. I mean, I've heard of tendonitis in knees and all that. But can you explain exactly what they mean by tendonitis and his Achilles?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very common problem. So inflammation in the tendon. So there's really two main types. There's what we call insertional, where it's right going into the heel bone, a.k.a. the calcaneus, or a little higher up. An athlete like this, it's likely non-insertional, so it's maybe a centimeter or two above where it inserts on the heel bone. And so you just get inflammation. It's from repetitive use, and obviously these basketball players are running and jumping repeatedly. So it's something that we see, again, fairly commonly. And so what you want to do is you want to initially nip it early. So icing, anti-inflammatories, ultrasound treatment, stretching, and then rest. And depending on the severity of the case, it may go away very quickly, but it can linger. If it becomes a real significant lingering case, yeah, it does open the risk of an Achilles rupture. So you don't want to just kind of play through it and be an explosive athlete like Giannis is.
Mm-hmm. Staying with hoops, I wanted to ask your opinion on this. So I was hooping it up with Hudson the other day, showing him my skills on the basketball court and that. So, and then I'm getting at that age, like, oh, the knee's aching. And I remember back in the day, remember when that fad of the jumpers band that everybody had under their knee?
Oh, yeah.
Did that thing actually work? Did that have a purpose? Because I had one, and I don't know if I actually really needed one or not, but I just thought everybody's doing
it. Yeah, no, you look cool, though.
Yeah, right?
Nice. So, yeah, those are called Chopat straps. Basically, they're used for one of two problems. So in young athletes, you can get something called Osgood-Schlatter, which is inflammation of the growth plate where the patellar tendon inserts, or on the side above it, the patellar tendonitis, back to the tendonitis issues, and that's where it inserts on the kneecap. So the idea is that it puts tension on it, which helps alleviate some of the symptoms. I take care of a lot of this problem, and I'm not a huge fan of them. Some people do like them. Some people say it makes it worse. So I tell them, hey, if you want to try it, but I find it to be a mixed bag. But again, some people I think use it for flair. But I will say some people do find it useful.
Last question for you, and I'm going to put you in the position as maybe the head team doctor of an NFL team. And your team is interested in signing a guy that we've talked a whole lot about, David Bakhtiari. And what would be some of the things, if you were to bring him in and examine him and how his knee was going, what would be some of the main things you would be looking at that, you know, before your team would decide to potentially sign him?
First thing, you're going to get x-rays and MRI. So you got to see how the joint's holding up on x-ray, and then the MRI, look at that. What, again, we all assume, actually now we know, was a cartilage lesion. So we were kind of right when we were guessing all along. And so if that lesion looks like it's filling in and looks okay and there's not a lot of edema in the bone behind it, and you don't see a fusion or fluid on the knee, then you could say, hey, maybe this is doing all right. And I think you could take a gamble on it, understanding that that could go backward. But if you see changes to the cartilage, persistent inflammation of the bone behind it, that's unfortunately a situation that's not going to turn out well.
Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting. I got to imagine any team that's interested, they're going to go through the ringer with him and look at everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. 100%. Zero question.
He's Dr. Crow, Chippewa Valley Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, inside the training room. Man, appreciate it as always. Always great to catch up with you, buddy. And you have a good weekend, and we'll catch up again soon, okay?
Absolutely.